Good morning. This morning's daf Erevin Chaf Beis. We are in Chaf Alef Amud Beis, and we're about the bottom of the Amud. We're going to be finishing off some Agarata that we did yesterday. Here we are in the second parak of Masechtas Erevin, and the topic of discussion has been the Pasei Beiraus, the special institution that was made regarding those people who are Olei Regalim, and they can make a makeshift enclosure for Shabbos. And so for Shabbos, what they are allowed to do is put brackets in the four corners around a well, and that will serve as a Rishus Yachid, thereby allowing them to draw water from the well and bringing it up right to the right to where the animals are. And so that has been the discussion. In the meantime, however, yesterday, so the Gemara transitioned into a lot of Agadata. It started already. It started yesterday. I take it back. Anyway, the Gemara started with Agadata regarding the Divrei Chachamim and the significance and the importance of Divrei Chachamim and the care that we need to take in terms of following Divrei Chachamim and cautionaries of the Gemara in terms of looking askance or being cynical about Divrei Chachamim. So this is all part and parcel of yesterday's daf. The Gemara this morning is going to start off with the Agadata. I should say continue with the Agadata that we learned yesterday. And then when we get to Chav Beis Man Aleph, we're going to transition back to Gemara and Halacha. So we are in Chav Alef Amud Beis, and we find ourselves about seven lines from the bottom of the Amud. It's right in the middle of the line. And so we're going to be looking at a pasuk in Sefer Malachim. The pasuk says, "The Vaidaber Shoshes Alafim Mashal Vayhi Shiro Chamisha VeElaf." So as far as Shlomo HaMelech is concerned, so he spoke out various mashalim, parables, analogies, and in terms of Shiro, in terms of song and praise, so 1,005. Okay, so Shlomo HaMelech authored a lot. And the Gemara's understanding over here, now the simple understanding of the pasuk could just simply be, is that Shlomo HaMelech wrote many works on parables and analogy, and in fact we know that's the case, meaning Shlomo HaMelech was responsible for Sefer Koheles, and Sefer Mishlei, and Sefer Shir HaShirim, so he had tremendous authorship. But the Gemara's understanding over here in the context of our discussion, that for every mitzvah in the Torah, so Shlomo HaMelech had 3,000 parables in terms of how to explain it and how to understand it. And I'll call davar v'davar shel sofrim chamisha ve'elef tamim. Now, for every din derabanan, 1,005 different explanations for every din derabanan. So for every mitzvah in the Torah, for every din derabanan, Shlomo HaMelech had much to say in terms of helping understand it, expound on it, etc., etc. Darash Rava Mai Dechsiv. Before I go further in the Gemara, let's go further in the Gemara. Darash Rava Mai Dechsiv, Yosef Shaya Kohalas Chacham Od, Limei Das Es Ha'am, Izen V'chikir Tikein Mashalim Harbei. So the Pasuk in Kohalas describes that Kohalas, meaning a reference to Shlomo HaMelech, was Chacham Od, he was very wise, and he explained to the people, Izen V'chikir Tikein Mashalim Harbei. And the Gemara now is going to explain each point of this Pasuk. So Lime Dasas Aam Dagmer Bisimane Ta'amim. So as far as teaching the people, so he gave people Ta'amim. Now Ta'amim could just simply be let me just read a little bit further. Bisimanim Ta'amim, but Asbara Bemai Didamile. So he gave people explanations, and he also gave you comparisons, meaning side by side comparisons of one mitzvah to another mitzvah, one halacha to another halacha. So the simple explanation over here is that he just made the Torah more presentable. He presented it with clarity. Really interesting Rashi over here. Agmei b'simani ta'amim. Rashi says kavala mesores v'simanim bein b'tevos hamikra bein begirso shel mishta. So Rashi over here says that as part of the mesores of how to be reading Chumash and how to be reading Mishnayos, so he gave ta'amim over here not only an explanation but basically a tune. Meaning in terms of how to sing and how to chant, so to say, the Chumash and the Mishnayos. So there's a tune that goes along with it. And so what's very clear from the Rashi over here is that not only is there a trup for Chumash, but there's also a trup for Mishnayos as well. Now, I wish I knew what the trup was. I don't have a Masorah in terms of what the trup is in terms of reading Mishnayos. There clearly was a Masorah. We've gone over this numerous times in the past. The idea behind Mishnayos is that it was meant to be committed to memory. There is nothing better to commit to memory than presenting it in a song. Had to have a tune that goes along with it. So there clearly was once upon a time, and maybe not even that long ago, but once upon a time there were tunes that carried the Mishnayos as well. So anyway, Rashi makes reference to it over here. It's very clear from the Gemara. continuing in the Gemara with three lines on the bottom, Ve'izim v'chiker tikein mashlim harbei. And so now the next part of the pasuk in Kohala said he was easing. What does that mean? Amar Ula Amar Rabbi Elazar b'tchila hisa Torah domelik fifa she'in lo aznayim. Before Shlomo HaMelech came along, so the Torah was like a basket, but it didn't have a handle. So it was hard to handle, literally. Ad sheba Shlomo v'asa lo aznayim. And Shlomo HaMelech came along, and he made aznayim. He made a handle for the Torah. So the idea over here is that there was now handles for the Torah based on the various institutions that were made by Shlomo HaMelech. In that, he both explained the Torah clearly, but on top of that, says Rashi, how also did he create handles for the Torah? So see the last Rashi here on the summit. Va'asala aznayim, shetikin erevin v'yadayim, v'gazer ala shniyos la'arayaskin, mefarsh b'yavamos. So based on not only the teachings of Shlomo HaMelech, but also the institutions, the gzeros, that were created by Shlomo HaMelech. He is, was gozer on Erevin Yadayim that we went over in yesterday's daf, the story with Rabbi Akiva, which we do right, we see it right here on the Amud that we did yesterday. So the institution to wash hands before eating bread. So that was an institution going back to Shlomo HaMelech, and the institution of Erevin Eruve Chatzeros. So that also was instituted by Shlomo HaMelech. So this is created handles for the Torah, meaning now that we have these takanos that were made by Shlomo HaMelech, the Torah now is easier to handle. The purpose of these gzeros and takanos is not to make our life more difficult, although it does give us more responsibility, but it's also able for, it provides for us a better way for us to be able to comply with the Torah. That not only do we have now the Isuri Daraisa, but they have these buffers that are put in, and so that we can handle the Torah a lot better. And Rashi over here, by the way, adds Shnius as well. Shnius is based on the Gemara in Yevamos. Interesting, by the way. Shnius and Yevamos is on the same daf, meaning we're in Chaf Aleph. If you go to Chaf Aleph and Yevamos, you're going to see the all the halachas regarding Shnius that are the additional relatives that the Chachamim prohibited in addition to that which the Torah prohibited as well. And again, safeguards that help us and facilitate our compliance with the Torah. So all these things now, the Gemara here views them as basically handles for the Torah. Now we have a better way of complying with the Torah now that these safeguards are put in place. Ad Khan, that takes us now not to the end of the Agadata, but the end of yesterday's daf. And we're going to continue. We still have more Agadah to go. And over here, what we're going to be discussing is we're going to go back to the Psukim Shir Shirim. In yesterday's daf, we quoted numerous psukim from Shir Shirim, and so we're gonna continue to do so right now. I know kind of there doesn't seem to be any heading or transition that teaches us that we're now moving into a new topic. It's not really a new topic, but anyway, we are here in the fifth parak of Shir Shirim. Kavutso Sav Tal Talim. So the hair is like locks. So Amar Rav Chista, Amar Rav Ukva, Malami Sheish Lidrosh, Akol Kotz VeKotz Tilei Tilim Shel Halachos. So again, Shir Shirim is not to be taken literally. We point this out yesterday. But rather, it is to be understood b'derech hamashal. And so over here, in a description, where what we're really describing over here is the Torah. And that means to say that the Torah, what does it mean? Tal talim kvutzosav tal talim, the locks of hair. So the Gemara says that that when it comes to every kotz, every, not only the letter that is written in the Torah, but the little tag, the little that little crown that comes up from the letter. So there also you can learn out tilim tilim shal halacha, mounds upon mounds of halachos. As we pointed out already in the past, meaning we know that the Torah is expanded in many different ways, and it's clear from a number of gemaras, including this one right here, that not only do we expound based on methodology of Yugimel Midrash HaTorah Nidreshes Bahem, but Torah is also expounded based on the letters and even based on the tag and even on the crowns of the letters. Now, do we have examples of that given to us in the Gemara? So I think it's not one. Not one example throughout all of Shas. Okay? And I could be wrong, meaning my memory could fail me, and that's happened, but I don't think there's one. So there is a methodology of darshaning, which the Gemara here makes reference to, but we never actually see it inside. Okay. Continuing in the Gemara, Shcharos Kol Reiv. It's black like a raven. So what does that mean? So the Gemara, again, is understanding this in terms of Limud HaTorah. B'mi Ata Motzan. So where are you going to find the Torah? Meaning who is going to be somebody who is going to master Torah? Mishamashkim Umari Valeim LeBeis HaMedrash. So you spend the time, you do your due diligence in terms of learning Torah. You're there early in the morning, you're in the Beis Medrash. You're there till late in the evening in the Beis Medrash. And Rashi says, Shcharos Kol Reiv, Shcharos from the word Shacharis, and Orev for like the word Arvis. So that is, so encrypted in the Pasuk is the idea that mastery of the Torah comes from simply putting in the work and the effort. Rabba Amar b'mishe mashkir panav aleim ka'orev. So Rava says that what you're going to do is you're going to blacken your face, meaning you're going to be spending so much time learning Torah that you're not, your physical well-being is going to be somewhat compromised because you're so dedicated to learning Torah. Rava Amar b'mishe meisim atzmo achzari al banav v'al b'nei beiso ka'orev. Rava says that in order to become a master of Torah, so to a certain degree, you have to be cruel to your children, the members of your family, like a raven is. Okay, I'm not familiar with the behavior of the raven towards his family. Okay, but the Gemara's assumption is, I'm going to work with that assumption, is that the ravens are not they're not nice to their family members, and so the Gemara says, and to a certain degree, right? Balance, by the way, is critical over here, but to a certain degree. So you have to be a little bit unsympathetic. In other words, the needs of learning Torah are going to have to sometimes take a priority. So the Gemara says, "Ki ha, the Rav Adar Mamasnu have a ka'azal lebe Rav." The Gemara tells the following story to support this idea. Rav Adar Mamasnu was headed towards yeshiva. So Amar le devasai yenuki ditcha ma'avilahu. So the wife says before he goes away, okay, nu, what about the children? Meaning, how are we going to take care of them? So Amar Allah, so he says to her, Mishli Mukur Me Ba'agma, are the vegetables all done out in the field? Meaning there's still more vegetables out there and they can eat vegetables. Okay, so obviously, that seems to be a little bit harsh, a little bit callous. I'm going to caution all of us, myself included, we're missing a little bit of context over here in terms of what exactly she was asking, what he was answering. But again, and the takeaway point from the Gemara over here is very simple. And that is that in order to prioritize, so prioritize by definition means, is that you're going to have to sometimes when you're putting something on a top level priority, so that which is behind it is going to have to a certain degree, is going to have to compromise and get sacrificed. So over here, so the children had food to eat. In other words, that was his point to his wife. There was food to eat. In other words, it might not have been the best food. And yes, if he worked harder and if he earned more money, they could have eaten better. But in other words, but once Torah is a priority, so that's it. So now he's going to head to learn. And yes, it means that the children are not going to be eating as well as they could have been had he gone to work. Umashlam the son of Alpanav. We are now going and doing a little bit more agadah this morning. We're darshaning psukim in Chumash. This is in Sefer Devarim. And Kadosh Baruch Hu pays his enemies leha'avido, and the pasuk concludes by saying, and to destroy them. Now, what is pshat in the pasuk? So, Amar Rav Yishuv Ben Levi, Omale Mekor Kasuv, Yevshel La'omro. Now, Rav Yishuv Ben Levi says, look, if it weren't the pasuk, we wouldn't be able to say it, but the pasuk says it, and therefore we get to say it. Say what? Kaviyachol ka'adam shenose masu al panav, u'mevakish la'ashlichu mimenu. A person has got this burden on his face, and he just wants to cast it off. That is how HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to deal with his enemies. Meaning, and he's going to have this burden, meaning people who are Risha'im, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to basically deal with them. They are, so to say, Kaviyachol, meaning we could say this, they are a nuisance to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he wants to just throw them off. And so therefore, he's going to pay them off. What does that mean, he's going to pay them off? Meaning that for the most part, the Risha'im, and for the most part, there's no schar that's going to come their way, but there is a little bit of schar that's due to them. They're not kula rishayim. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to pay off that debt by rewarding him with whatever little reward he wants in he deserves in this world. And by doing so, so now whatever's left now is going to be all onesh. And that's the hashlama that the pasuk is making reference to. And lo ye acher lesono amar vilal lesonav hu de lo ye acher val ye acher letzadikim gemurim. Now, as far as not delaying, so that's for the enemies. Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to pay them the reward immediately and basically dispense with whatever reward they deserve. And from that point going forward, so then it's just onish. But when it comes to the tzaddikim, so their reward is going to be suspended. Aval ya'achel tzaddikim gemur v'hayinu d'amar Rav Yishuv ben Levi ma'adich siv the pasuk asher nochi mitzavcha yom la'asosam. And we have another pasuk also that speaks to this idea that for a tzaddik's reward is all coming la'asilavo hayom la'asosam la'lamachal la'asosam. In terms of doing the mitzvos, that's while we're here in this world. Hayom la'asosam la'machal kabos karam. Today we're going to be doing the mitzvos, and the reward comes at a later point in time. That's only machar that we're going to get the reward. Machar over here means not while we're in this world. After we leave this world, then we're going to receive the reward. Amrev Chagai v'item Rav Shmuel bar Nachmani ma'yachsiv the pasuk erech apayim. So the pasuk in terms of the Yud Gimel Midah Sharachamim, right? Elul is a perfect time to go over it. The Yud Gimel Midah Sharachamim, where one of the descriptions of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in terms of the way he's compassionate is that he's Erech Apayim. So Erech Apayim, so Erech Af Mi Ba'ilei. The Gemara says it's a little bit strange. What does he mean? What does it mean? He is Apayim with multiple faces. Shouldn't it be Af? Ela Erech Apayim L'Tzadikim, Erech Apayim L'Rishayim. So in terms of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Arichos Apayim, in terms of his patience and his kindness, so they manifest itself differently when it comes to tzaddikim versus when it comes to rishayim. When it comes to tzaddikim, so his erech apayim is that they're not going to get reward in this world. They're going to get reward lasid lavo. But that obviously is latova. When it comes to rishayim, they are going to get reward in this world because, again, it's to dispense with whatever zchus they earn. And that's in this world. That's going to be paid off in this world. And then lasid lavo, so that's going to be where they're going to get all their onish. Ad kan divrei agarata. This is it. That takes us to the end of the Agarata that the Gemara started with yesterday. So admittedly, that was a lengthy piece of Agarata. Started on Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph, and now has concluded on Chaf Beis Amud Aleph. And now we go back to our Mishnah. We're going back to now to halachic discussions. We head back to the Mishnah, and we now are going to be speaking once again about the limits of creating this pasuk beiraus. So when putting together the pasuk beiraus, so what are going to be the limits of the pasuk beiraus? So that takes us all the way back to the Mishnah. So we're headed all the way back to the beginning of the Perek, where the Mishnah there talked about how large can one make the pasuk beiraus when putting it around the well. So if you look back at the Mishnah, look at the last word on Yizayin Amud Beis. So muter laharchi kol shehu v'vashiyar bepapasin. So as far as the Tanakam is concerned, so you can make as large as you want. You just have to make sure that the wall is going to be to the dimensions that we spoke about since the beginning of the Perek. Meaning you need the brackets in the corner, and as far as the gaps that are in between, so according to Rav Meir, they can't exceed 10 amos. According to Rav Yehuda, they can't exceed a 13 and third amos. Fine. So that's in terms of the perimeter. Now, how large an area? So according to the Tanakam, you can make them as large as you want. What about Shitas Rav Yehuda? No. Rav Yehuda says it can only be at Beis HaSayim. It can only be 5,000 square amas. It cannot be larger than Beis HaSayim. And to that, the Chachamim said, that's not true. So Amr Lo, they said to him, Lo Amr Beis HaSayim al Legino Lekarfav. Beis HaSayim, that's talking about enclosures that are non-residential enclosures, like the example of the Gina, like the example of the Karpav. But once you have a residential enclosure, so then you can make it as large as you want. This Pasei Beiraus, the Chachamim argued, is considered a residential enclosure. And therefore, you can make it as large as you want. Afilu Chamishas Korim, Afilu Beis Asara Korim, you can make it as big as you want. And again, what the only provision is that of Avachi Arbet Bepasin. You just have to make sure that the perimeter is to the specs that we spoke about. Good. Rav Yehuda Amad Beis Asayim. So the Gemara over here, interesting, the Gemara is going to spend a good amount of time up to the next Mishnah, basically going over Shitas Rav Yehuda, trying to understand and analyze Shitas Rav Yehuda. Do we pass like Rav Yehuda on this issue? So presumably the answer is no, meaning it's a funny question because we don't make Pasei Beiraus. The Gemara already put significant limitations on the times that we can make these bracketed enclosures. But if we were to make Pasei Beiraus, presumably we don't pass like Rav Yehuda. But Shitas Rav Yehuda is part and parcel of Torah. And so the Gemara now is going to spend some time analyzing the sheet of Rav Yehuda. Ibailahu. So Rav Yehuda, we know, caps it at 5,000 square amas. That's the Beis HaSayim. So Ibailahu bor upasan kamar, udilma bor velo pasan kamar. So when he's capping, what exactly is he capping? Is he capping the area that is the well? Meaning if the area of the well is a Beis HaSayim, that already is too large. Or is what he's capping is the entire area that is within the enclosure, the base, the bor and the Beis HaPasim, and the Pasei Beiraus. So Adam knows him, and the Gemara goes on to explain what exactly is the question. Adam knows him, ain't of Bebor Veloga Zrinan, Dil Ma'asala Tatula Yosme Beis HaSayim Bekarfaf. When a person is looking at this area, so what is he focusing on? Is he focusing on only on the boar? And basically, he's now going to say, look, I remember when our last time up to Yerushalayim, and we made this enclosure, and it covered the area of the pit. Now, that was a big pit. and to cover the area of the pit. Now, the pit is a non-residential area, and the next time now he's going to create another enclosure in a non-residential area, he's going to look at the pit as basically the model of, oh, this is how big we made it. And Odomar, maybe no. Adam no senena, but mechitzasa v'gazrin Odomar asila echlufe yosmi b'aseh sain b'karfaf. Or no. When you're looking at this bracketed enclosure, are we looking at the entire interior area of the brackets? And so therefore, when Rabbi Yehuda says that we're capping it, because we don't want people to confuse this with other non-residential enclosures, so people are not looking just at the pit, but people are looking at the totality of the interior. So the Gemara says, this is exactly the question that we are raising within Shitas Rabbi Yehuda, what are people focused on? So Tashma, so the Gemara says, okay, so we're going to quote a Braisa, and what we're going to do is we're going to critically read the Braisa. So Kamahein Mekuravim Kedei Rosh Haviru Bashal Para. So here the Braisa starts off with the basic halachas, which we already went over, and we already saw most of this Braisa earlier in this Perek. How close can the brackets be to the pit? So close enough, but there still is room where the animal's head and the majority of its body can be interior of the enclosure. Good. V'kamehim ruchakim, how far back can I pull back the brackets? So afilu kurve, afilu kuraim. So this is shitas chachamim. You can pull them back as far as you want. You can make the enclosure as large as you want. And Rav Yehuda amar ben sasayim mutar yosmi ben sasayim aser. So Rav Yehuda says, no, you can't. In other words, you have to limit it to a beis hasayim. The area cannot be larger than a beis hasayim. Amr le Rabbi Yehuda, they said Rabbi Yehuda, yet amode, bedir, besorah, muksa, vechatzer, afilo beis chameshes korim, u beis hasara korim shemutar. So they say to Rabbi Yehuda, what are you talking about? You know that if I make other enclosures, so I can make them as large as I want. So amr lehem, so his response is, zumechitza ve'elu pasin. You can't compare them. You're talking about a chatzer where you're putting bona fide walls around the chatzer. So yes, you can make them as large as you want. Here you don't have bona fide walls. What you have over here is a bracketed area where there are large gaps, significant gaps over there. This falls under the category of pasin. These are inferior walls that are making this perimeter, making this enclosure. And so therefore, it's not comparable to a regular chatzer. Good, the back and forth between the Tanakam and Rabbi Yehuda. We already saw it early on the Perek. We just got to review it again right now. Why are we quoting this Braisa? It's because in the Braisa, there actually is a third opinion. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer, Bor, Beis HaSayim, A Beis HaSayim Mutar. As far as the pit is concerned, it has to be a Beis HaSayim by a Beis HaSayim, meaning it has to be square, and it has to be 5,000 square amas, and no larger. V'lo amr laharchik ela kedei rosh avru bashel para. And as far as pushing back the brackets now around this pit, so that is to allow the animal to be able to have the head and the majority of its body in the interior of the brackets. Now, we see over here in this Braisa a third opinion. We have not yet seen this opinion of Rav Shimon ben Elazar. And now what we get to do is, because we're seeing the Braisa in its totality, we get to now compare and contrast the Shita of Shimon ben Elazar to the Shita of Rav Yehuda. Let's start off with comparison and where they agree. They both agree that there is a cap, there's a limit to how big the enclosure can be. Good. Now, what do they disagree about? So here we get to the part where the Gemara is going to now try to make an inference. Hamid dekam Rav Shimon ben Elazar bor v'lo pasin, mechlal de Rav Yehuda bor pasin kamar. So now the Gemara says, now that these two positions are put side by side in the Braisa, so now the contrast between the two positions seems to be pretty clear. In that, Shitas Rav Shimon ben Elazar is putting a cap on the pit. So if Rav Yehuda now is basically agreeing but disagreeing, so what is Rav Yehuda saying? So the cap has got to be on both the pit and on the enclosure. That seems to be the deal of the Braisa. Velohi, the Gemara says, okay, that was nice, but that you can make another diuk. And that is Rav Yehuda bor below pasin kamar. So it could very well be that, according to Rav Yehuda, no, it's the cap is only going on the pit. The 5,000 square amma limitation is on the pit, not on the enclosure. So Yehachi, I know Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. The Gemara says, fine, but then in the Braisa, the next opinion is Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, and he's saying the same thing, and that obviously is not the way to read the Braisa. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar is arguing with Rabbi Yehuda, but where's the argument? So the Gemara says, so the Gemara says, no, there is an argument. In that, according to Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar and according to Rabbi Yehuda, the limits are going on the pit. They both agree to that. But in terms of how to measure that area, so Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar says it has to be a square area, meaning that the length and the width have to be equal to one another. Now, 5,000 square amas, how do you get to equal sides? It's really just a mathematical question with a mathematical answer. And the answer is each side is going to be 70 and 2/3. If you take 70 2/3 on one side, 70 2/3 on the other side, so you're going to end up with 5,000 square amas. So the Gemara says, good. That is Shitas, that Shitas Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. What about Shitas Rabbi, Rabbi Yehuda? So he also has a cap on 5,000 square amas, and they both agree that the cap is going on the area of the pit, of the bore, but what he allows is flexibility in terms of length versus width, meaning that length versus width can be adjusted, meaning you can have 50 on one side, 100 on the other side. That also gets you 5,000 square amas. So it could be rectangular shape, it doesn't have to be square in shape. So that's the machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, but in terms of what the cap is going on, they both could agree that it's going on the pit and not on the total area of the enclosure. Adkan, that takes us now to the end of the analysis within Shitas Rabbi Yehuda. As we pointed out, it's a little bit strange that the Gemara is spending so much time on a Shita that we don't paskin like, but it's a parcel of Torah. Almost ready for the next Mishnah, just one more piece. Klal Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. And the following rule was said in the name of Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, and that is, Kol Avish Tashmish L'Dira, that when the interior airspace is meant for residential purposes, Kigon, Dir Vesor, Muksa V'chatzer, Afilo Beis Chameshes Kurim Beis Asara Kurim, Mutter. You can make the enclosure as large as you want. Meaning, simply put, like we've said already numerous times, as long as it's residential in nature, so then you can make the enclosures as large as you want. However, if it is not residential, but Kagon Borganin, Shebesados, so if, let's say, for example, the Borganin that's made out in the field, the Borganin's a hut, but the purpose of the hut is there to just simply provide a way for somebody to stay shaded, but really what he wants to do is he wants to guard the field. So his real interest is being in the field, but he doesn't want to be in the field. It's very hot in the field, very sunny. So the Borganin just provides shade. So then, because it's not hukaf ladira, because it's not designed as a residential area, so then beis hasaim mutter, you also may beis hasaim maser. So then you have a cap in which you can only make it as large as a beis hasaim. So the basic halacha is that by non-residential enclosures, like the Borganin, so under those circumstances, the Chachamim limited to how big it could be in terms of being able to carry within that area. It can only be up to 5,000 square amas. It cannot be larger than 5,000 square amas. But when it comes to any residential area, so then it could be as large as you want, obviously with the provision that it be enclosed. And now, it's an appropriate time to bring up this halacha of Shimon ben Elazar, because we just debated and deliberated the question of the area of the Beis Hapasim. Is this area now going to be considered a residential area? According to the Chacham, and the answer is yes. The Ole Regalim are now using this area to stop on the way to Yerushalayim. So over the course of Shabbos, this is where we're residing. So obviously, when they're setting up the brackets over here, this is the purpose of residence. Now, what's Rav Yehuda's counter-argument? That's a wonderful question. I don't fully know the answer, but presumably, according to Rav Yehuda, what he would argue is that, no, we're only putting the brackets around just to draw water, and we'll go back to yesterday's daf. And the only reason why we're drawing water is water for the animals, not even for us. What are the people supposed to do? So, like we learned yesterday, they're supposed to scale in and out of the wells. But in other words, but they're really not to be used the enclosure area. So what Rav Yehuda is going to be arguing is that this bracketed area around the wells is really non-residential nature, and that's why he puts a cap of 5,000 square amas. He considers it like an area which is low hukaf ladira. Adkan, that takes us now up to the Mishnah, and we begin now the Mishnah. The Mishnah over here is going to be fundamental, as it's going to be discussing when exactly a Rishus HaYachid is going to be compromised as a Rishus HaYachid. So if I have an area that is enclosed, so is anything going to compromise the status of that area, no longer making it a Rishus HaYachid? Now, it's interesting in that we're going to be discussing it in the context of the Pasuk Beros, meaning this Mishnah finds itself squarely in the second parak of Erevin, and that means that it is really within the discussion of Pasuk Beros. But as it will become clear in the Gemara, it's not just limited to Pasuk Beros, it's true by any and all Rishus HaYachid, and as we're going to see, so maybe distinctions could be made in terms of this discussion as it relates to Pasuk Beros, and the same discussion as it relates to other types of enclosures. Let's start with the Mishnah. This Mishnah we already saw in yesterday's daf, and we get to see it again today. Rav Yehuda Omer, Im Haya Derech Rishus HaRabim Mip Paska San, Yisakhen El Tzadim V'Chacham Amram Im Eino Tzarech. So the machlok is over here between Rav Yehuda and the Chachamim, regarding what happens now that when I set up my Pasuk Beros, so it happens to be that the well's right now in the road, and the brackets now that are around the well are in the road, and traffic is still going through now the Pasuk Beros. So is that going to compromise now the status of the Rishus HaYachid? And that is a machlokas between Rav Yehuda and the Chachamim. Rav Yehuda says that, yes, the traffic is going to compromise the Rishus, your Rishus HaYachid, the enclosure in the bracketed areas. What do you have to do, says Rav Yehuda, in order to maintain the integrity of the Rishus HaYachid status of the bracketed areas? You have to reroute traffic. Now, I am sure that that's not as easy as I'm saying it. I know that that is a serious project where you're going to have to reroute traffic, but Rav Yehuda says if you don't reroute traffic and the traffic is just simply going right through the Pasei Beiraus, it compromises the status of the Rishus HaYachid. Now, to what degree does it compromise? The Mishnah does not say. The Mishnah just simply says that it needs to be rerouted. So it's unclear what happens, according to Rav Yehuda, if I don't reroute it. Meaning, does it really take away the full status of the Rishus HaYachid? Did the Chachamim just simply say you can't carry in that area? I'm asking the questions. I don't have prepared answers, but it is certainly worthwhile analysis. Meanwhile, Shitas Chachamim is no, ain't no tzarech, you don't need to. Meaning, Shitas Chachamim expressed very simply is, traffic does not remove the status of Rishus HaYachid. If you have an enclosure, and over here, mind you have not the most significant enclosure. All you have now is the bracketed enclosure, the Pasei Beiraus. Still, once it's deemed a Rishus HaYachid, which it is, so now traffic is not going to take away from the status of it being a Rishus HaYachid. Now the Gemara goes on to discuss Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Elazar, Dami Tavayo, Kano Diecha, Kochan, Shamechitzas. So Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Elazar, we saw this already, the statement of Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar, and we already analyzed whether or not Rabbi Yochanan actually passes this way or does not paskin this way. But meanwhile, the statement of Rav Yochanan Rav Elazar is that Khan over here, we see the significance of the Shita of the Chachamim. Meaning once it is deemed a Mechitza, once it's deemed a Rishus HaYachid, so that's it. Traffic is not going to take it away. You see the status of walls and how significant walls are. So the Gemara says, Khanu Svirling. Now, does that mean to say that this is how Rav Yochanan paskins? So Vahama Rabba Babrachana Rav Yochanan Yushlaim Male Dal Sosa Ninalas Balaila Chayav Malay Mishum Rishus HaRabim. So the Gemara says I have to balance that with another statement that was made by Rav Yochanan. And that is a comment that he made regarding the city of Yushalayim. The city of Yushalayim has got walls all around it. The city of Yushalayim has got a main thoroughfare going through it. And the city of Yushalayim's thoroughfare not only is going through the city, but it exits and it enters the city. And let's assume right now, I don't have a perfect planning. A site plan of Yerushalayim, but for the purpose of our discussion, let us assume that this road goes all the way through, both from the outside through Yerushalayim back to the outside as well. So you have basically a Rishus HaRabim running through Yerushalayim. What is saving Yerushalayim from being called a Rishus HaRabim? The fact that there are doors along these walls and the fact that these doors are closed and locked, says the Gemara. I'm not sure if locked, by the way, is the most critical point. But in other words, the point is that they're closed. And they're closed on a nightly basis. And if they weren't closed on a nightly basis, so then that road would be deemed a Rishus HaRabim. And no longer Rishus HaYachin. So now, let's think this through. Yerushalayim has got walls all around it. It's certainly better than Pasei Beiraus. Pasei Beiraus has just got brackets in the corners. You're talking basically about walls circling all the way around, with exception to that main thoroughfare that goes all the way through Yerushalayim. And so what Rav Yochanan now is commenting is that had it not been for the doors, which are going to be stopping traffic, so then what's going to happen is that Yerushalayim would have a status of Rishus HaRabim. Oh boy, that goes just like Shitas Rav Yehuda, not like Shita of the Chachamim. Meaning you have walls around it. It has a status of Rishus HaYachid, but traffic is going to take away the status of Rishus HaYachid. That's what Rav Yochanan is saying regarding the city of Yerushalayim. So, Elakam v'lo svirlei. So the Gemara says, okay, so it must be that even though Rav Yochanan himself comments on the sheet of the Chachamim of our Mishnah and are basically amazed at the sheet of the Chachamim and saying, look at how powerful walls are. Okay, good. So within Shitas Chachamim, so you could be amazed. But as far as the Pesach Halach is concerned, so the Gemara is saying that Rav Yochanan is paskin like Shitas Rav Yehuda. Okay, now, in terms of how does Rav Yochanan actually paskin? So it's a little bit tricky because we saw, well, that's not true. We saw Rabbi Elazar, who did in fact paskin like the Shita of the Chachamim, and over here, Rabbi Elazar is coupled together with Rav Yochanan in terms of complementing the Shita of the Chachamim. So I'm just observing, it comes out to be a little bit strange that in our Gemara we have both Rav Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar complementing the Shita of the Chachamim. Earlier in this perek, we said that according to Rav Elazar, not only was he complimenting the Chachamim, but he was also subscribing to the viewpoint of the Chachamim. And meanwhile, Rav Yochanan, who is also complimenting the Sheet of the Chachamim, but Rav Yochanan himself is not subscribing to the Sheet of the Chachamim. Okay, so interesting side-by-side comparison between the two. The Gemara now points out, V'rami, the Rabbi Yehuda, V'rami, the Rabbanan, the Rabbanan, and we have stiras between both the Rabbi Yehuda and the Sheet of the Chachamim, the Tanya. We're going to learn this brisa again. We've seen this brisa already in the first perek, and Baruch Hashem, we get to see this brisa a lot. Yes, okay, I'm Rav Yehuda, Mishayilo, Shnei Batim, Mishnei Tzidah, Rishot Rabim, Oso lo lechi mikan, velechi mikan, okar mikan, vekar mikan, venosin, venosin, beemsa. So Amrlo, en ma'arvin, Rishot Rabim, bekach. So remember the design over here, where basically I had buildings on the two sides of a street. The buildings are facing one another, so the buildings face themselves can be viewed as walls. They are walls. But meanwhile, of course, the road in between them now is mafulash. It's open on both sides. So Rav Yehuda says, perfect. You have a Rishus HaYachid. All I need to do is put a lechi on one side of the street, a lechi on the other side of the street, and now you have an enclosed area. This is the Rishus HaYachid. And the Chachamim say to Rav Yehuda, you have to be kidding. This is not a Rishus HaYachid. You only have two walls over here. It's a Rishus HaRabim. You cannot just simply put lechis on the two ends and now call it a Rishus HaYachid. It's a Rishus HaRabim. Okay. Now, Kashi to Rav Yehuda, to Rav Yehuda, Kashi to Rabbanan, to Rabbanan. So now the Gemara thinks, so we have a problem, both in the Sheet of Rav Yehuda and in the Sheet of the Chachamim. Rav Yehuda, Rav Yehuda, Lokasha, Hasam Dika, Shtei Mechitzas Mal Yasa, Hachaleka, Shtei Mechitzas Mal Yasa. So the Gemara says, Rav Yehuda's Sheetas don't bother me, because over there, in the case of the buildings facing one another, so what you have is, you have Mechitzas Mal Yasa, those are bona fide walls. And so those are bona fide walls, so what we have over here is a bona fide Rishus HaYachid. So there, even though the traffic is going through, but traffic is not going to negate the Rishus HaYachid status, in the context of bona fide walls. When is the traffic going to be a problem? When you're talking about inferior walls, like our case of Pasei Beiros. So their traffic is going to negate the status of Rishus HaYachid, but not if it's bona fide walls. So that is how we're going to resolve the Shita within the Shita of Rav Yehuda. And Rabbanan, Rabbanan, namelo kasha, hacha, ika, shem, arba, mechitzos, asam, leka, sham, dala, mechitzos. Now, for the Chachamim, we're going to resolve the stira almost in the opposite direction. Meaning, according to the Chachamim, what's better? The two walls facing one another or the Pasei Beiros? According to the Chachamim, I'll tell you what's better. The Pasei Beiros are better because there you have four walls, albeit those walls are very short of being enclosed, meaning the gaps that are in the middle, but nevertheless, they are bracketed on all four sides. So basically, you at least have an outline of four walls. So there, traffic is not going to negate the status of the Rishus HaYachid. But over here, they're just two walls. Two walls does not create a Rishus HaYachid. So the notable difference between the case over there of the two walls facing one another, according to the Chachamim, that's not a Rishus HaYachid, as opposed to the Pasei Beiros, where you have an outline of four walls, and so therefore traffic is not going to take away its status. Okay, so what we have done is we have resolved both within the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda and the Shita of the Chachamim. We are in the bottom of Chavetz Amad Aleph. Am Rav Yitzchak Bar Yosef, Am Rav Yochanan, Eretz Yisrael, Ein Chayav, Melem Mishum, Rishus HaRabim. So we have a big statement made by Rav Yochanan, literally and figuratively, a big statement, and that is that Eretz Yisrael is not going to be subject to being a Rishus HaRabim. Now, before we analyze the statement of Rav Yochanan, why that should be, it is admittedly just so difficult to follow Rav Yochanan, because just moments earlier he described Yerushalayim at least potentially becoming a Rishus HaRabim. The door saved it from being a Rishus HaRabim, but it potentially could become a Rishus HaRabim. Now, in the same discussion, Rav Yochanan now is saying that Eretz Yisrael is not subject to being a Rishus HaRabim for reasons which we're going to explain in just a moment. And that's hard to understand because Rav Yochanan moments earlier said that Yerushalayim is at least eligible to become a Rishus HaRabim. That is a problem. I'm just raising it as an issue. I don't have a prepared response for that. But anyway, Eretz Yisrael ain't chayav mishum Rishus HaRabim. Yasser Rav Dimi v'karmel l'ashmaitam alei abayi l'Rav Dimi. My time. And now, why should that be? Why is Eretz Yisrael not eligible to becoming a Rishus HaRabim? Eilei mishum demakiv lei sulama d'tzor me'achisa u'machtana d'geder me'achisa. Maybe because of the topography of Eretz Yisrael, where you have its borders basically being mountains, right? Some sort of mountainous range on one side, and some sort of incline on the other side. And so what you have are natural walls that are surrounding Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara says, is that it? So the Gemara says, "Bavol nami, mekifle pras mehagisa, v'dichlech mehagisa." I'll tell you the same thing in Bavel. So Bavel is situated between both the rivers Tigris and Euphrates, and those embankments are natural walls. And so I'll say the same thing by Bavel. Bavel also is no longer a Rishus Harabim, as we basically have a natural perimeter that goes around it. So the Gemara says, now, as long as we're here, let's just keep going with this argument. Dukuli ama nami, makifu kainus. So the Gemara says, you know that the whole world is encircled by water. So the continents are all have a some sort of water system around them and embankments around them. And we could just go on with this argument ad absurdum. So the Gemara says, Dilma malos moridos, malos umordos kamart. So the Gemara says, well, it may not just simply be the simple topography of Eretz Yisrael. It could be that there actually are carved out areas that surround it in terms of creating not just natural walls, but actual walls that were manufactured, that were man-made, that would create Eretz Yisrael to be a non-Rishus Harabim area. So Amar Lei Karkafta Chazisa L'Reishcha Be'amud Deki Amar Rav Yochanan L'Hashmaita. And so the response he says is, "Oh my gosh, you must have been in shear in order to hear that. That's amazing. That is your understanding of the statement of Rav Yochanan, and the you must have been in shear." Now, mind you, by the way, who just had this dialogue? So it was Abai and Rav Dimi, and so Abai says to Rav Dimi, like in other words, they were trying to analyze and understand the shita of Rav Yochanan, and the response is, "Oh, you must have been sitting in shear." Now, there's a historical issue over here in that Abaye and Rav Yochanan were not in the same generation. Rav Yochanan was a first generation Amora. Abaye was significantly later. He was basically in the center tkufa of the Amoraim. Tosfos already raises this as a problem. And so when he says you were sitting in the shir, so not to be taken literally. Okay, anyway. What comes out over here is that you have a perimeter that goes around an enclosure, and over here we're talking about Eretz Yisrael, which is a really large enclosure. So that is going to be saving it from being a Rishus Harabim, meaning now it is no longer eligible to be a Rishus Harabim, as it is basically an enclosed area. Now, it's really interesting because the Gemara basically is not giving us any limits for what an enclosed area would be in order for it to be considered a Rishus Yachid. And the Gemara just covered the entirety of Eretz Yisrael as a Rishus Yachid, because it is, in fact, surrounded by a perimeter. And not just natural walls, but an actual perimeter. So the Gemara says, now this is all within the Shita of Rav Yochanan. If you want to see just an interesting discussion, short one over here, Tosus over here wants to know that that according to the Shita of the Chachamim, where traffic never is going to negate the status of a Rishus Yachid, so that means to say that according to the Chachamim, Eretz Yisrael should be Rishus Yachid. Meaning, according to Rav Yehuda, so what you can argue is that, yeah, it's true, Eretz Yisrael may structurally be Rishus Yachid, but you have plenty of traffic going through, and that negates the status of Rishus Yachid. That's according to Shitas Rav Yehuda. But what about the Shita of the Chachamim, where traffic does not affect the status of Rishus Yachid? So that means that according to the Chachamim, Eretz Yisrael should be a Rishus Yachid. One giant Rishus Yachid, right? So Tosfos says it can't be. And so if you want to see, just quickly, the end of Tosfos over here, V'yesh Lamar, it's the last three lines of the second Tosfos. Why, according to the Chachamim, is Eretz Yisrael not a Rishus Yachid? V'yesh Lamar, de mechitza, shein asui, b'de adam, lo chashiva mechitza kulahai, v'afilu rabban amoda, da'asu rabim amavat lemechitza. So Tosfos says that when it comes to mechitzas that are natural, that are not man-made, so obviously they do create a Rishus Yachid, that we've already seen countless examples, but nevertheless, even the Chachamim to a certain degree will agree in principle to Rav Yehuda that there comes a point in time where the walls are subpar, meaning natural walls are somewhat inferior, and so therefore when I do have traffic that goes through the area, so that is going to negate the status of the Rishus, I'm sorry, that will negate the Rishus Yachid status of that area if the walls that surround it are natural and not man-made. That's Tosus's presentation over here in terms of why Eretz Yisrael is not considered Rishus Yachid, and for that matter, you would now say the same thing for every island, right? Manhattan Island, right? Anytime you have any kind of island, So why isn't it just simply viewed as the Rishus HaYachid? So we have an approach, meaning Tosus over here presents an approach that the walls that surround it are walls, but nevertheless more susceptible to being negated by traffic going through it. Okay, we are now on Chav Beis Amud Beis. We're picking it up. Itmar Nami. The Gemara now is just simply going to support what we just stated, which is Kiyasa Rav and Amar Rav Yochanan Amar Lamar Rabbi Abba Amar Rav Yochanan Malos Amar De Shaver Tisal Ein Chayev Mle Mishum Rishas Rav Mafish Einem Kedigle Midbar. So the so these elevations which make now four walls that go around Eretz Yisrael is going to give the status of Eretz Yisrael a status of Rishus HaYachid, not a Rishus HaRabim. It is not modeled like Diklei Midbar. When it comes to Diklei Midbar, when we're going through the desert, so it was all flat terrain. How do we know it was all flat terrain? So Rashi here reminds us, because of Anani HaKavod. So the clouds that went through the Midbar flattened out the road, so there was no incline. So when we went through the Midbar, there were no inclines. That is going to be the prototype of a Rishus HaRabim. And so therefore, any time that you have smooth roads that are passable, that are easy to go through, so that is not going to have the status of they will have the status of Rishus HaRabim, but once you have now any kind of area that is impassable, so that's not going to have the status of Rishus HaRabim. Ba'minei rachva mei rava tal mislaket asar mitoch arbav rabim bokim bo chayav malav mishim Rishus HaRabim o'ein chayav malav. So let's say I have my incline. So we discussed this incline already in yesterday's daf. We get to now review it again. And that is tel hamislakeit. So in the case of tel hamislakeit, so are we going to be saying, in other words, tel hamislakeit, let me just explain a little bit better. Tel hamislakeit, by the way, I said yesterday's daf. We discussed it back on your testament base. Okay. Anyway, tel hamislakeit is the idea that when I have an incline where it goes up 10 tefachim within 4 amas, so in other words, you have a certain angle, so there it is viewed as a wall. Question is that we view it as a wall, is it also going to be a traffic blocker? And then now, is it going to impede traffic and thereby take away the traffic status, so to say? I'll be clear about this in just a moment. So this is the question. So is it take away the, does it take away the Rishus HaYachid status or not? So Aliba the Rabban Loti by La Khashta Mahasam Dinichetash Mishay Ami Rabban Lasa Rabban Mavatli Lai Michitsa Sahidalo Nichetash Mishay Lo Koshikain. So the question does not even get off the ground according to the Sheet of the Chachamim. Because consider, what do we learn in the Chachamim in our Mishnah? You're talking about bracketed enclosure. There is plenty of room and ease for traffic to just simply walk right through, and they do walk right through, and the Chachamim say still it has a status of Rishus HaYachid. So even in unimpeded progress, the Chachamim do not take away the Rishus HaYachid status. So in impeded progress, like the incline, for sure it's not going to take away the Rishus HaYachid status. So the Gemara says, so fine. So the question does not even start according to the Chachamim. However, according to the Shita, Rav Yehuda Kiti Bai Lach Alibad Rav Yehuda, but here's where the question gets off the ground, and that is Shita's Rav Yehuda. My house, I'm Huda Nichetash Meshay, Hachud Lo Nichetash Meshay Lo Asa, Rabbi Mevat Lemechitzasa, Odilma, Lo Shna. So on one hand, you could say that, look, it's true in our Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda says that once traffic goes through the bracketed area, so that is going to negate the Rishus HaYachid status, but that's unimpeded. But over here, it's impeded. Maybe it's different, or maybe it's not different. So Amar Lei Chayavim Vafilo Olin Lo Bechevel. Amar Lei In Vafilo Bemalos Beis Maron Amar Lei In. So, and it doesn't matter how hard it is to get through. If people are going through that area, even if it takes ropes to get through that area, even if it steps to get through that area, nevertheless, traffic is going to negate the Rishus HaYachid status. This is Shitas Rav Yehuda. That's the answer that is given. Eisvei, the Gemara says, really, is that so? Chaser sharabim nechnasim la bazu, v'yotzim bazu, Rishus HaRabim latuma, Rishus HaYachid l'Shabbos. So if I have now an area where it's an enclosed area, and but still I have public going through, so vis-a-vis tumah, it's considered Rishus HaRabim. Vis-a-vis Shabbos and Hilchos Shabbos, it's considered Rishus HaYachid. Good. This is a brisa. Actually, we saw this brisa earlier in the Masechta. Now, money. Ilem Rabbanan Hashta Mahasam Denicha Tashmi Sheyam Rabbanan Lo Asur Rabbim Mavat Lemechitzis Hachad Lo Nicha Tashmi Shey Lo Kol Shekein. The author of this brisa is whom? So it's not the Chachamim, because we already know that according to the Chachamim, even unimpeded traffic is not going to take away the status over here. The assumption is that somehow the traffic is impeded, so for sure it's not going to take away the status of Rishus HaYachid. The author of the Braisa is not the Shita of the Chachamim. Ela Lav Rav Yehudi. So it must be that the author of this braisa is Rabbi Yehuda. And now what we're saying is that, yes, it's true that according to Rabbi Yehuda, traffic takes away Rishus Yachid status, but that's only unimpeded traffic. In this braisa, it's impeded traffic, and so therefore it does take away the status. That's what we're suggesting. The Gemara says, no, we're going to go back to our first suggestion. Lo olam rabbanan, Rishus rabbim letumah yitzterech lei. No, it's the sheet of the chachamim. And the chiddush is that even though vis-a-vis Shabbos it's a Rishus Yachid, but for the world of Tumah, Safek Tumah, so the criteria is going to be different. Meaning, a Shabbos, it is a private domain. But vis-a-vis Safek Tumah, so as long as there are people there, that takes away now the status of being a Rishus Yachid, it's now considered Rishus Rabbim. And therefore, like we said time and again, Safek Tumah, Rishus Rabbim, Tahor. Tashma, the Gemara says, okay, let's go on. Mevos ha-mufalashos beboros b'shichlim v'vimaros. Rishus ha-yachil Shabbos Yorshin u'rishus ha-rabim l'tumma. If I have these mavui mufalashos open on both ends. So, now it's not clear exactly what the Bryce is describing. In the pit and in some sort of cave, so it's a rishus ha-yachil vis-a-vis Shabbos, rishus ha-rabim vis-a-vis tumma. What is being discussed over here? So, beboros ha-kadatcha ela liboros. Rishus Yechel Shabbos, Rishus Rabbim L'tumma. Here's what we're describing over here. What we have is a Mavui Mefulosh, but at the end of the Mavui, what do I have? I have a pit basically right at the entrance. It makes it really hard for people to go through. So, in traffic now is going to be significantly impeded. Good. Vis-a-vis Shabbos, it's a Rishus Yechel. Vis-a-vis Tumma, it's a Rishus Rabbim. Who is the author of this brisa? So here we go. Again, money. For the Chachamim, it's a no-brainer. Because the Chachamim said that unimpeded traffic is not going to take away the status of a Rishus HaYachid. So over here, we're talking about impeded traffic. There's no Chiddush for the Chachamim. So Ella Lav Rav Yehuda, so the author of the Braisa is Rav Yehuda. So the Gemara says, Lo, Olam Rabbanan. No, we're going to go back. Rishus Rabbim L'tumah Tzrich Lei, and again, for the Chachamim, there's no Chiddush vis-a-vis Shabbos, but vis-a-vis Tumah, that is a Chiddush. Tashma, the Gemara says, okay, we're going to do this now another time. Shvile Beis Gilgal V'chayos Behem Rishus Yachal Shabbos or Rishus Rabbim L'tumah. The pathways of Beis Gilgal, we're going to describe in just a moment. So vis-a-vis Shabbos, Rishus Yachid, vis-a-vis Tumah, Rishus Rabbim. Ezer Shvile Beis Gilgal, a better description. Amr de Beir Rav Yanai, Kol She'ein Ha'eved Yachol Lito Sar Shochitim, V'yaros Lefnei Sar Diyot. So the servant can't take the wheat and run right in front of his master, meaning it's hard to scale this particular terrain. And vis-a-vis Shabbos, it's now Rishus Yachid. Now, Mani Ilem Rabbanan Hashna Ma'asam Denicha Tashmishay Amri Rabbanan Loas Rabbim Mevatle Mechitza Hachad Lo Nichale Tashmishay Lo Kol Shekain. So now, for a third time in a row, here we go, making the point on behalf of the Chachamim. If unimpeded traffic is not going to take away Rishus Yachid status, certainly impeded status is not going to take away Rishus Yachid status. So, Alalav Rav Yehuda, the author of the Braisa is Rav Yehuda. Amrle Shvile Beis Gilgal Kamart. So the Gemara says, no, Shvile Beis Gilgal is not part of the discussion over here. Yes, it's a Rishus HaYachid, but for a totally different reason. And that is Yoshua Ohev Yisrael Haya. Yoshua loved Eretz Yisrael. Kind of self-evident, meaning conquered Eretz Yisrael, divided Eretz Yisrael, settled Eretz Yisrael. But on top of all that, he had a particular love for Eretz Yisrael. So Amma V'tikin Lahem, Durachim V'sratia Kol Hecha D'Nicha Tashmishay Masra L'Rabim, and Kol Hecha D'Lo Nicha Tashmishay Masra L'Yachid. Now, in terms of zoning, and in terms of determining what is Rishus HaRam, Rishus HaYachid, so Yoshua said as follows. If it is an easy road to traverse, so he deemed that to be a public road. If it's more difficult to traverse, so then Yoshua did not give that over to the public, but rather he gave that over for private roads. And what comes out now over there is that it happens to be because of Yoshua's designation, so that's why this particular area is considered Rishus Yachid, not considered Rishus Rabbim, and that's why in this particular scenario, what we have is this area, even according to Rav Yehuda, being a Rishus Yachid, not a Rishus Rabbim, having nothing to do with our discussion over here. Ad Kan, that takes us to the end of the Mishnah, and what we get to do now is review the Daf. We finished off the Agadah yesterday talking about psukim, various psukim in Kalas and Shir Hashirim, darshaning the psukim. The topics that were covered within the Agadata was once again the significance of Divrei Chachamim Shlomo HaMelech giving Ta'amei HaMitzvos, explaining the mitzvos, explaining the Dinei Derabanan, giving a tune in terms of how to sing it as well. So the various topics that were discussed within the Shita of the sorry, within Shlomo HaMelech. On top of that, they got it to continue on to Chav Beis Amud Aleph, talking about Tzachar Va'onesh, and how HaKadosh Baruch Hu deals with the Rishayim, and how HaKadosh Baruch Hu deals with the Tzadikim. That is all the Agarata that we covered. Then, on Chav Beis Amud Aleph, we went back to our Mishnah, talking about making Pasei Beiraus, and how large an enclosure can it be? According to the Shita of the Chachamim, it could be as big as it could be as large as you want, as large as you need. And Shita's Rav Yehuda is that, no, you have to cap it at a Beis HaSayim. It is similar to a non-residential area, like a Karpaf, and therefore it has to be capped at 5,000 square amas. The discussion in the Gemara, are we talking about the area of the pit? Are we talking about the entirety of the enclosed area, the interior of the closed area? The Gemara discussed, the Gemara did not conclude. Then the Gemara, just before getting to the next Mishnah, taught us a basic halacha, that any area that is not zoned and designed as a residential area, even though it's enclosed, is going to be capped at a base assigned 5,000 square amas. Okay, adkan. Then the Mishnah opens up the big discussion of, is public traffic going to be negating the status of Rishus Yachid? For the Chachamim, the answer is no. And for Shitas Rav Yehuda, the answer is yes. What the Gemara discussed is, well, how does Rav Yochanan feel in terms of the halacha? Does he side like Rav Yochanan? Does he side like Rav Yehuda? Does he side like the Shita of the Chachamim? Answer is that it seems like he sides like the Shita of the of Rav Yehuda, not the Shita of the Chachamim. And that's because his comment about Yerushalayim, had it not been for the doors, Yerushalayim would be considered a Rishus HaRabim. Aye, it's got walls all around. Yeah, it's got walls all around, but the traffic that goes through negates the status of it being a Rishus HaYachid. Rav Yochanan also made another comment, which admittedly, as I already went through it earlier today, is a little bit problematic, in that Eretz Yisrael is not considered Rishus HaRabim because of the walls that surround it. The Gemara then says, if that's true, Bavel also has got rivers and embankments all around it. And the Gemara says, and as far as that's concerned, continents has got waters all around it. So the Gemara says, no, what we have to say is that the walls that surround Eretz Yisrael are not just simply topographical walls, but rather actual walls that were carved out and therefore create an enclosed area for Eretz Yisrael. Why aren't natural walls considered a perimeter that's going to create a Rishus HaYachid area for various islands and even in large areas that are surrounded by water? So Toso says that this is where the Chachamim are going to agree to Rav Yehuda, that in a situation where I have natural walls that are going to be encircling, so there even the Chachamim will agree to Shitas Rav Yehuda that public traffic is going to negate the status of those walls. The Gemara continued its discussion. According to Shitas Rav Yehuda, when traffic is impeded, is he still going to say that it's negating the status of the walls? A lengthy discussion on the Amud Beis. The Gemara went numerous rounds trying to prove that according to Shitas Rav Yehuda, if the traffic is impeded, so then it's not going to take away Rishus Yachid status. The Gemara left that question unresolved.